Hallelujah. You already know it. Open to Ephesians. Now today, we've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to be in the book of Joshua mostly. And there's times, you know, as a teacher, I like to delve into the scriptures and break them down. I like to get into the Greek definitions. And then, that's not enough, you know. Then you got to find the classical Greek definition compared with the Koine Greek definition. And then sometimes you got to get the tenses to see if it's past, present, or future, or aortist. I love all that, too. And you can learn a lot of things that way. But sometimes we'll get down to such a microscopic level, you go, now, what was it we were studying? You know, faith? Oh, yeah, faith. Yeah. Well, today, my instruction is to paint with a broad brush. Okay? And so I hope you've been either attending and hearing the messages or keeping up with them by way of the internet. And by the way, in case there's anyone in the sound of my voice, we now have available at least three places. We have DaveRoberson.org now is up and running, and they've really done a wonderful job with that website. And all of the messages are there, the series and the current messages. Then they also have the prophecies. Not only you can print them, they also have them in audio form. I mean, it's just amazing what all is there. Then then Sue and I, we have our website, GaryCarpenter.org. It's mostly just the things that the Lord has done through us. And then there's Iktus, IKTUS.net, which is more of a hub for all of the ministries associated with the prayer center. So if you want to know, well, is Jason Hamlin in town or is he in New Zealand? You can find out. Are we going to have a conference? You can go there and find out. So I highly recommend those three websites. And if you're listening around the world and you're not familiar with those, you ought to check out all three. Because each one is unique, each one is different, and you'll find things at one that's not at the other. So there is food for you if you want it. None of us are going to stand before Jesus on that. And by the way, it's all free. And none of us are going to stand before Jesus on that day and have anyone accuse us saying, well, they had the food, but they charged more than I could afford to pay. No, sir. It is free. If you wind up hungry, it's your own fault. Here's another one. While we're talking about it, y'all do know that Dave does not personally have time, nor do I, nor does Tim have time to teach you how to make CDs on your computer. We have instructions at the website on how to do that. Now, there's all different kinds. You know, there's Windows XP, there's Windows, what's the new one now? Vista. And then I think they're coming out with another one pretty soon after that. Windows 7. Do y'all know there's a thing called help? Here's help files. That, you know how I learned how to do it? I used the help files. And step by step by step, if you want to make, your own CDs, duplication is encouraged. We do have them copyrighted for the reason that you can't, so people can't snip them apart, string them back together and make it say stuff we didn't say. Okay? But they're not copyrighted for the reason that you can't duplicate them. Duplicating is encouraged, you know? So you can learn how to do all that. You don't want Dave teaching people how to do that. You want him in fasting and prayer? You want me in fasting? No, I mean prayer. No. Getting on to Ephesians. That's enough right there. Now we've done gone to meddling. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to start at the armor of God. Now, again, we're going to go with a broad brush today. You're going to like this, I think. Now, it's interesting that in Ephesians 6, Paul plainly tells us we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But the first level of that is understand, I don't care what your mind thinks, your wife is not your problem. Wives, your husband is not your problem. People, your pastor is not your problem. We're not really wrestling with people in the same way that Joshua did and the Israelites in the Old Testament. They literally had to go into a physical land and do battle with physical people, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, and on and on and on. All right? We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It tells you plainly here in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right. It's demonic forces ultimately is who we're wrestling with. You got that? But now here's the second level of that. See, that's true, but back up here to chapter 5, and really a little bit into 4, let's start right after he tells us to put off that old man, put on the new man by the renewing of the mind. He takes us back to Joshua, which is the very book, in verse 26. Be you angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Where does that happen? Who didn't let the sun go down? Who was that? That's Joshua. We're going to look at it here in a minute. And Tim was the first one to catch this from, you know, he got it by revelation of the Holy Ghost. He says, you know what that's really saying? He's saying when you start putting on that new man, there's all kinds of ites in the land. Can you let me say it that way? Back there, there are Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites. Well, the ites, let's look at some of the ites that Paul starts mentioning here. So those are all types and shadows of things in us. So he says, verse 25, one of the first things to deal with is lying. Now, wait a minute. Now Paul's getting personal again. He's talking about me. I thought we were going to wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Now he's talking about me. Yeah? Now let's keep that thought in mind. First he says, quit lying. Then he says, verse 28, stop stealing. Then he talks in verse 29, quit letting corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Then he comes on down here. He says, well, now let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Paul, I thought we were dealing with principalities and powers. Why are you talking about me and my flesh? Well, you remember the vision that Dave had years and years ago when he was on that fast? He'd been on the fast so long, he had to run around in the shower trying to get wet. He talks about, he says, even the strain, you know, the drain thing, the drain plug, he said that was a safety measure. And God showed him that vision just as he was coming off of that fast. And he saw the world and he saw the glory of God up way up high above the earth, you know. But there was this dark band that prevented man from being able to go up into that glory. And he said, I know what that is. That's got to be the devil. That's demonic forces. And really, the Holy Spirit had to correct him. Says, no, that's not demonic forces. That's what they use. That black band. Because in the vision, he could see anyone that made it through. Somehow they were able to penetrate that layer of black and maybe get their hand up into the glory. Then their hand shone with that glory. They'd come back to earth and lay their hands on the sick and they'd recover. If somebody could maybe get their head pushed up through it, you know, and they'd come back, then they'd be a teacher. They'd have the glory of God on their mind and they could teach, you know. But somehow they were able to penetrate past the veil of the flesh. See, that's why these two things are connected. Here, Paul, he goes on, especially in chapter 5. Look at, he starts talking about verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Comes on down verse 4. Filthiness, foolish talking. He talks about whoremongers and unclean. He's talking about the flesh here in chapter 4 and 5. But then when he gets over to chapter 6, he says, we're not really wrestling against the flesh. We're wrestling against these principalities and powers. I was praying about this and praying about this. And then one day the Lord brought it to me, what Jesus said there in John, not long before the high priestly prayer. He said, "There, Satan cometh, the prince of this world's coming, but he has nothing in me." See, there were no handles, can I say it that way? There were no ites. We are ultimately wrestling against principalities and powers, but in much the same way that Jesus has no body on earth to work through but ours, Satan really hasn't, to a large degree, his work is accomplished only as he finds things in us, in our flesh, that he can work through. They're both contending for our bodies, people. You got that? He says, Satan has nothing in me. Think about in just recent history. We don't have to go back 100 years. We can go back within a year. And certain ministries that have been even counselor to the president on things. Not present administration, but the previous. And thought to be a moral champion. Big church. Mega church. Love God. I have no doubt. Love God. Serving God. But the enemy a principality, a power. I don't know how high the devil had to go. But he found a certain ite in the land. He found a handle. He found something in him that then the evil one was able to use. And he usually does it right at the peak of your influence. You know, is he going to destroy you when you don't have much of a following, or destroy you when you have a lot? This is such common knowledge. Y'all remember the Jimmy Baker, Jimmy Swaggart things from years ago. Two men that really loved God, gave their lives to God. Ites in the land. I'm telling you, some of the stories that I read later, you know, a lot of people turned away from Jesus because of that. A lot of them did. Now, that's not saying they should have. I'm just saying that that's what it is. The enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. But he is really the one we're wrestling against. But you can't forget the way that he is effective is through the flesh. And that's why Dave saw that band. See, we can't really change the devil, but we can purge our flesh. Well, the whole book of Joshua, if you'll allow me, it's like the new nature has come into the land represented by the children of Israel. These are the people of God. They're influenced. They've crossed over into the land. They've come to possess the land for God. But there's a lot of ites in the land. Sounds like Gary when Gary got saved. When Gary got saved, there was alcoholites, pornographites, covetites, greedites. Sue, what else? She knows all those ites. She knows my ites better than I know my ites. I had ites, man. Ites to the left, ites to the right. Nicotineites, did I mention them? Mostly, there was a big camp of greedites, covetites. And here comes the new nature. And he's come to take the land. Well, a lot of ites got dealt with pretty quick. We had some Jerichos and Ais come down, man. And within just weeks, alcohol was gone. Pornography was gone. Certain other things were gone. What were they? None of your business. I'm not talking about your stuff. But some things lingered on. I'm telling you, covetousness, now it changed to some degree. I'd have to tell you, I could not function. I had to leave the career that I was in because I couldn't function after I got saved the same way that I did before. I couldn't do it. And it wasn't like it was totally illegal, but it walked too close to the line. And I couldn't do that anymore. I tried, didn't I? I tried for like a year. Finally I said, I've got to find some other way to make a living or we're going to starve. I couldn't do it anymore. But that doesn't change. I'm telling you, there's still a lot of covetites and greedites and moneyites in the land. And other ones that we'll get to later. Now, in the book of Joshua, which is the parallel book to Ephesians, I want you to get this picture. Picture for me for today's lesson, that Israel coming into the land, that's the new nature. The land is your flesh, if you'll allow me, including your soul. I'm not talking about just physical appetites of the flesh. I'm talking about the unrenewed parts of the soul. So it would be, if you're a person that tends to envy, that would be an ite. If you're a person that's quick-tempered, that would be a Hittite in the land. Hittite. See, if you're quick-tempered, hit. Sorry. The new nature has come to do battle. All right? Now, you all know the stories of Jericho and Ai, and there's all kinds of things. Normally, that's as far as anybody normally gets in the book of Joshua. They hardly ever go beyond there. Now, we did a lesson here. Tim did the first one on... go ahead and turn into Joshua chapter 10. Hallelujah. See, Joshua chapter 10 is when five kings came out against Israel. Now, I've already taught chapter 10. I'm just going to summarize today to get our mind going down this certain path. But then we're going to go to chapter 11. And you hardly ever hear anybody teach out of chapter 11. But I'll tell you why. Let me whet your appetite. Go to the very end of chapter 11, the last verse. Verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. How many of you are ready for some of this? And the land rested from war. Let us enter into his rest. If Joshua had given them rest. So forth. Now the thing of it is, that's Joshua chapter 11. Notice, there's Joshua chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I guess maybe that's the end of it. 24. There's a lot of it left. There was more war to come after this. But the tactics changed. After chapter 11, they go into a new season. Okay. All right. But there's a change of season between 10 and 11 also. So let me summarize for you in chapter 10 what's going on. Now, what's just happened, they've already taken Jericho, they've already taken Ai, and then the Gibeonites came, the people that lived at Gibeon, and they tricked them. Because God said, don't make any treaties with any of the ites that live in the land. See, most Christians, like Gary, let's take Gary. Hey, alcohol left, pornography left, a lot of things left. But there was a lot of stuff that didn't leave. So you know what happened? I didn't know how to make it leave. I learned to live with it. And most Christians are doing that to some degree. Well, you know, and I've tried to change and I can't. I'm tired of trying to change. You ever get tired of trying to change? So you basically come to it like this. Okay, that's just the way I am. And you're going to have to love me the way I am because I can't change. And we will and he does, but you don't have to not change. But that's where we come to. We don't know what to do anymore. Or you just get tired. Say, well, I thank God for where I've come, but man, it doesn't seem like I can go on anymore from here. Well, the Gibeonites came and they made a treaty. They tricked Joshua and they wound up living. They made a treaty with the Gibeonites, but that scared the bejabbers out of this one king. Now watch this. Bejabbers. It's a good Pottawatomie County word. Joshua chapter 10, and I'm going to quickly go through this. It says, now it came to pass when that guy, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it. As he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities and because it was greater than Ai and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, that guy, king of Jerusalem, said unto that guy, king of Hebron. Okay, let's skip down to verse 5. I can't say all these names. But what I want you to realize, there were how many kings? Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites. Five kings. Now, this isn't the only meaning you can get from this, but that's not by accident that this level of warfare, there were five kings. You have five physical senses. One of the first levels of warfare to get past is learning to live by faith and not by sight. One of the first levels of warfare, learning, like we mentioned a while ago, learning just to start calling those things which be not as though they were. Do you know how rare that is? How seldom do I ever counsel with anybody that's got even the slightest inkling of that weapon in their arsenal? You listen to them talk, I mean, it's the end of the world by noon. We're not going to make it out of this lunch before I'm sure that's the end of days today. You know, they don't know anything about that. Learning to live by faith and not by sight. The five physical senses, moved by what you see, what you hear, what you feel, living by the emotions, all of those things. That's not by accident. So here this warfare comes, and it was this very warfare. You can see it here, and again, we're not teaching really this chapter today. This is summarizing. Come on down to verse 12. It says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Now we could go on with this. One of the main weapons that they learned, notice verse 16, these five kings, the five senses, they hid themselves in a cave at Mecca, that place, and it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave. Now, how clear a picture can God make? You want victory over the five kings? And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the what? How clear a picture upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. You want to learn to have victory, to learn to live by faith and not by sight? Shut your mouth. Shut it. Quit letting those kings speak through you. Put a big stone over your mouth. The Bible says, Lord, set a watchman, set a watch over my mouth that I might not sin against thee. Coming blabbing, well, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. What are you basing that on? What I see, what I hear, what I feel, it's bad, it's the end of days. It's the last day, we won't make it home from lunch. I'm telling you, it's the end. You put them in the cave and you put a boulder over your mouth. You can't hear them anymore. You can't see them anymore. It doesn't matter what your five senses do in there. You're going to go have victory over your enemies. And you're not going to quit until you have avenged yourself. I'm not living by my sight anymore, devil. You have led me around by my circumstances too long. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. The prophet, even from the Old Testament, Habakkuk, he says, If there be no fig on the tree, if there be no vines, if there be no cattle in the stalls, if there be no grain, if there be no anything, yet will I rejoice in the Lord my God. He will cause me to rise up and walk on the high places of the earth. Hallelujah. It's called trust. It's called faith. It's called learning. What was the purpose of the manna? If you really go back and you study the manna, he says that man should learn that he does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord thy God. Man, the first level of victory is over those five senses. You've got to become a person who is not moved by what you see, not moved. And especially if you start attending this church and you actually get to the point where you start hearing him. Jimmy Miller and I, we're still going to start this Bible school, and the name of it's going to be God, You Said What? Because when you start hearing from him, he doesn't talk like your friends. He starts talking like all things are possible to him that believes. He starts talking to us about sending all these tapes and everything back in those days. I want you to send them out for free. I want you to send them all everywhere and send it free and postage paid. And I'm going, God, have you looked at my checking account? And I think I heard him say, well, have you looked at mine? If I can afford it. If I can find someone moved by my account and not yours. I had to learn that, see. We get ready to go on a Sid Roth program. And normally, you know, one of the things they offer to do is most ministries come, they have a tape set to sell or, you know, to put on there, you know, to offer to the people. And they said, well, you know, what would you have that you'd like for us to market? And I said, well, we don't have anything like that. Everything we do is for free, you know. I said, I could give you two of my favorite messages, you know, and you could offer those for free. And the lady said, I may not have the numbers exactly right, but it's close enough to get the gist of it. She said, now, Mr. Carpenter, Sid Roth's, this message is going to go out counting the people in America and the people in Europe and Israel and other places. The viewing audience is about 16 million, something like that. Are you sure that you want to offer to send for free two cassette tapes to an audience of 16 million people? Us probably with $40 in the bank. Everything on the inside of me, the five kings were yelling from inside the cave. The five kings, I could hear them through the boulder. I could hear them. No, don't you offer to do that. Don't you dare offer to do that. Don't you dare. What's wrong with you? But I'm listening on the inside. And, God, you said what? Oh, yeah. And I told the lady, but she couldn't see me. You know, I sounded real confident. I'm going. my father says, he can afford it. Click. Before I can change my mind. You got to put a boulder over that, the mouth. You cannot let those five kings keep speaking. You have got to hide them away. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. And the number one tool you can use, don't let them speak through you anymore. When you open your mouth, what is Joshua 1, what is it, 1:8? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Part of that meditate is to mutter the word of God. Listen, you can't keep his word in your mouth without speaking it. Now, you can keep it in your head without speaking it, but it says, don't let my word depart out of your mouth. Now, if I have an apple in my hand, where is it? It's in my hand. The only way to have it in my mouth, I got to bite it. I got to have it in my mouth. It's the same way with God's word. You can have it memorized in your brain, but he didn't say that. He said, no, it's got to be in your mouth. In your mouth, you got to be speaking it. Either his word directly or in line with his word now. So that's one level of victory. But now that's the other message. That's the one I did before. That's a pretty good summary, isn't it? Let's go on to chapter 11. By the way, they did. Boy, they did battle. They didn't let those enemies get it. They put them to death. I mean, they tracked them down. The enemy went on the run. That wasn't good enough. They followed them. They followed them, says, no, we're not even driving. Our goal is not to really drive you out of the land. Our goal is to kill you dead where you don't breathe anymore. See, God's tired of us living with our ites. He wants them put to death. We say, okay, well, I finally learned, my brother. Man, it was a hard old battle. I've gotten pretty good now at not living by sight anymore. I've gotten pretty good at that. Really? Now you're ready for the real war. Because look what happens in chapter 11 after that great victory over the five kings. So it came to pass. Now I like this guy because I can say his name. When Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard these things. That, now I want you to notice how many kings here. That he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akashap, and to the kings, plural. So I started to count these, and it won't. There's so many of them, you can't. Because how many kings is that? To the kings, plural, that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the border of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and to the west, and to the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. Learn to live by faith, did you? You're about to face 10 metric tons of flesh charging at you all at once. Your flesh says, uh-oh, this guy may really conquer me. This is why you can pray and pray and pray for years and deal with things and deal with things and have great victories. And you keep praying and all of a sudden one day it's like your flesh goes crazy. Things you thought you had dealt with years ago. You'll find out they've been over there asleep. They've been hiding in Durban. They've been hiding over in Canaan land here. They've been, and all of a sudden, they're going, this guy, this lady, is actually learning how to live by faith. If we don't stop this now, we could really die. Your flesh, at all costs, wants survival. The flesh, that's why you can't negotiate. You know, even God didn't try and negotiate with the flesh. With our spirit, he gave us a new one. With our mind, he said, here's my word, you can renew it. He looked at our flesh and he goes, even I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead. Now he's going to give us a new flesh, a new body. But we've got to deal with this one right now. And that old flesh nature, its number one instinct is survival. It is self to the core. It doesn't care about God. It doesn't really care about you. You know, your flesh, if you let it, you just eat yourself to death. Drink yourself. How many people drink themselves to death? Heroin themselves to death. Why? The flesh would rather have the high than even to keep living. Plus, there's something about the flesh that thinks it's immortal anyway. I'll never die. Heroin. I'll never die. Heroin. Had y'all ever noticed this before? This is after the guy learned something about faith. After you've learned not to live by your five physical senses. And I mean, suddenly the flesh appeals to every camp, anything that's left in you. This is where we lose a lot of people at the prayer center. And they may have been here for years. They may have learned a lot. And may have had great victories, just like Joshua had great victories. But if you keep on, and if you really become a person that learns how to talk, I hate to say it that way, but that's really what it is. You learn you're not going to talk from the five physical senses anymore. You're going to speak God's word and in God's word. Now, you have become a dangerous person. And the flesh knows if it doesn't do something at this point to change your walk, its survival is really in jeopardy. And I want you... Should I read that list again? Everything in the land, I mean, it appealed to your toenails. It's like this appeal went out to every part of the flesh. Not just, I know you're thinking the physical flesh, like the toenails and the, but it's going to every part of the unrenewed soul. Is there any envy left? Come, go to war. Is there any jealousy left? Come, go to war. Remember that? Do we have any resentment in the camp? Come, let's go to war. Anything in you, and suddenly one day you wake up and it's like you've gone crazy and you don't know why, and you go, I thought I was supposed to get better. I've been doing this message for years and I woke up worse. Something's wrong with this. And boy, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. And we lose so many people right there. It goes, there's got to be something wrong. Look at, of course, and the devil's going to jump right on that bandwagon. I was a lot better person than this before I started coming to the prayer center. No, you always had those things. But God's plan, and I'm going to show you this from Scripture. God, when do you see this? Now, this is nothing new. Dave has taught this from, this is Dave Roberson 101 stuff. We're just doing it from a different avenue today. See, it's a purifying of the gold. How do you purify gold? You got to heat it up. And if there's any impurities, what happens? They float to the top. Well, when they float to the top, everybody can see them, right? Even you can see it. You go, I didn't know that was in my gold. Yeah, it's in there. Now, is the idea then to run away and say, well, my gold is no good? No, the idea is to remove the impurities, deal with them, get rid of them so there's more purity to the gold than there was before. But unless that process somehow has to come to the surface. Now, it's even in Joshua. Look at this. Glory to God. About I had a running fit when I saw this. So, verse 5. And when all the... Okay, to verse 4 again. So you can see... Get this picture. This is the way I feel sometimes. My flesh goes wild on me. Had it under control once. Y'all saw me lose 1,000 pounds. I've gained most of them back. Got to lose them again now. I wish y'all people quit losing weight because I keep finding it. But anyway. Verse 4. And they went out. They and these are the evil king. These are the ites. And all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and they pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against the new nature. That's a picture I want you to see. They've come to fight against Israel. They've come to fight against this new nature that has come to take the land. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. For tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hew their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. Now, there are a lot of supernatural victories in the Old Testament where battle wasn't required. You know, I mean, Gideon, they never did really have to go to battle. What they did is they lifted up, they broke the pot where the light could shine, and they gave a big shout. And the Lord did the rest. You know, they ran off. They didn't really have to go fight. There was another, you know, and then there was 186,000 of the enemy slain in a single night by an angel. That's not the kind of deliverance that comes here. Now watch what happens. We're talking trench warfare. We're talking, well, what I mean by that, we're talking down in the dirt. I've meditated these battles, man, to the point I can feel the grit of sand in my mouth. I can hear the clang of sword against shield. I can feel the pain of a blow to my face where your teeth get loose. I've been in real fights, and that's what this is, and I notice. Verse 8, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them into great Zidon, and unto, good Lord, that place, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining, and Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hewed their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back, and he took Hazor and smote the king thereof with the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. See, that's a real victory there. You put him to death though. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to what? Nothing left alive. Satan cometh, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. God's after a group of people that can say, the Satan cometh, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Why? I've let the new nature do its job and drive all the ites out of the land. Buddy, it is war. This is in here for a reason. This is in here for a reason. I've told you about my struggle with the nicotinites. Buddy, that was war after the decision was made. You know, it's different things with different people. Things he had me do during the driving the money changers out of the land, he had me give my beloved pickup to my worst enemy. And I went, what? And he says, yeah, I want you to wax it, polish it, clean it up, fill it up with gas, armor all the tires, and give it to him. So I took it to the car wash down on Peoria where I usually went to. I was going to drive it through there, and the Lord stopped me. He says, no, I want you to do it. I didn't even do that for myself. I always took it down there. What? Now I want you to do it. This guy, he was like my worst enemy. Now I'm here, their armor all in the truck, you know, cleaning it up. Got to give the truck. What's he doing? See, God's really in the business. He was trying to rescue that guy. At the time, I loved my truck more than I loved that guy. That's the truth of it. What's he doing? He's putting his love for people in me higher than my love for my pickup truck. He's putting people above things. Who would have thought that? That's just one of many things. On and on and on you can go, driving the ites out of the land. It's warfare, though. That wasn't easy for me to do. So all the cities of these kings, verse 12, and all the kings of them did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for their cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. Neither left they any to breathe. Did they make a treaty with them? They kept on until it was dead. You know what I always think of when I read that? You know how Dave, he goes through that parable, how the husband and the wife decided they were going to do better to love each other. You know, anyone can do better for a while. So the husband, he found out his wife's favorite breakfast. He'd cook that favorite breakfast for her, take it up to her every morning, serve her breakfast in bed with a nice red rose, you know. And at first it was, oh, I love you so much. That's so nice. Thank you. That's wonderful. A couple of weeks go by. Does the same thing again. By that time, she's going, "Don't we have anything in this house but pancakes? And don't we have another type of flower but a red rose?" He said, "Well, I thought that's what you liked. And here we go, and you're back at it again. You were trying to make a treaty, see?" But Dave always finishes that story with, "Well, that's what happens when you try to love. But it's not hard to love when that's what you are." And there's the difference. Put to death anything in us that's not of Him. God is love. When those things really don't breathe anymore, they don't have any life in us anymore, now the devil can come with, he's looking for handles. He's looking for something. Those principalities, powers that we're really wrestling against. One of the ways you wrestle against them is remove the handles from you. That's why it's all listed together there in Ephesians. Now, we're not done yet. We haven't got to the good part yet. Pretty quick, though. Verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen, and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even, okay, all those places. Verse 18. Joshua made war a few days. Joshua made war a week. Joshua made war, oh, rats. Doggone. Uh-oh. Joshua made war a long time with a few of those kings. What? He made war a long time with all of those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites. That was that first bunch that tricked them, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. Now, we said all that to get up to verse 20. Now, I want you to notice this. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle. Huh? It was of the Lord that all those fleshly kings, it was of the Lord that they came against Israel in battle. That was His plan the whole time. Why? That He might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that He might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. When you've been praying in tongues, worshiping, fasting, meditating the Word, basically what we call doing the message, there is gold in you that's from the new nature. But as the heat gets turned up, part of the work of the Holy Ghost, it is of the Lord that any impurities, any ites that remain, like impurities in the gold, any ites in the land, it's of the Lord that it comes to the surface. Why? So that it can be utterly destroyed. That's why you pray and pray and pray. And maybe you've been able to, through self-control, you've been able to, maybe, you know, you've been like a quick-tempered person your whole life. And just through human discipline, you've managed to keep it fairly regulated. You come here and you start praying and praying and praying and learning how to live by faith and not by sight. And all of a sudden, it seems like you can't control that anymore. You start saying stuff and you go, "What? What? How did... What? I can't believe I said that. How did that come out of my mouth?" It's of the Lord that be brought to the surface like impurity from the gold. Why? Because once you see it, David has meticulously taught us, listen, He doesn't let you see it till you're already at the place where you can deal with it. That's the whole reason for letting you see it. Why else would He bring it? He said it's of the Lord to stir that up. That's part of the Lord's plan. Impurities, things that you thought, "Oh man, I thought I had that under control." It could be anything. Appetites, lusts, greed, anything that's still in the land. You keep praying long enough, those ites will come out against you. And it's of the Lord. Why? So that it can be utterly destroyed. no longer kept in check by human discipline, you can say, Satan cometh, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. He's looking for handles, some way he can turn you. Like we've seen so many times. Maybe with some it's greed. It's the money. With others, it's women. With others, it's power. With others, it's all kinds of things. But he's looking for some kind of handle. God has given us this message. I thank God for the day that Sue and I walked through the doors of this church. We knew we were a mess when we walked in. If they would have sold them in the bookstore, we would have bought the t-shirt that said, "Strongholds are us." We knew that, but we didn't know anything about how to get rid of them. Boy, we start praying. Sure enough, here come the kings out against you. Here comes the things that you didn't know you was like that. You go, ooh. And that's a lot of times that's where we lose people right there. What we typically call an impasse. Mark was talking this morning about the change of season. I think this message is more for the old timers. I'm looking at Steve. I'm looking at Red. And I'm looking at others that's been here a long time. Good Lord, there's Bruce. He was here before Dave. No, not really. No, Dave was here first. He goes back to the beginning, don't you, brother? See, I look at Leah. There's so many here that I could... We've been here a long time. We've learned a lot. And we've learned to operate at a certain level. People, we're about to go into the next level. And stuff that we've kind of lived with. It's not like we haven't possessed any of the land. We have possessed a lot of the land. But we've learned to kind of live at a certain place. We've made treaties with the Ites, whether you want to admit it or not. And now he's saying, it's of the Lord now. I'm going to stir up those Ites. Even you're going to see them. But the good news is, I've given you dominion over them. Now this time, don't make any treaties with them. This time, go to war. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath again. Go to war and put them all to death. So that when the revival really comes and they were at the peak of influence, you know the devil's going to come sniffing around looking for handles. Let's be that people that says, he comes, but he finds nothing in me. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word, Lord. Hallelujah. It's of the Lord. Why? That they can be utterly destroyed. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm for that. I'm for that. Glory to God. Sue, would you mind praying a prayer for these people? When she gets through praying, if you came specifically for prayer, then come put your toes on the green line and we'll pray. And the rest of you, you'll be dismissed when she finishes. But please kind of stay, you know, kind of quiet to get out to the foyer.
Thank you so much, Father. We appreciate everything that you're doing here at the prayer center and in the lives of the people and all the families, Father, and our children and grandchildren, that you have laborers in the field harvesting all of our loved ones, Father, and bringing them into your kingdom. They come to their senses and say, I'll return to my Father's house. I thank you, Father, for all for working on our behalf everywhere in all the different areas of our lives. And I thank you that none of these kings will have dominion over us. I thank you for your word that is empowered by your Spirit, enforced by your Holy Spirit, Father, when spoken through from our mouths. Father, I thank you that we harness the power of our tongues to proclaim your word and your will, the mind of Christ with your heart, Father, everywhere we go, over this city, over our families, and your desires for the people of this city and all over this nation and even all over the world, Father, we can proclaim your heart's desires, and you bring them to pass. I thank you, Father, for grace, the grace you poured out through the Lord Jesus Christ, that this city sees your grace, that Jesus is exalted here, He's lifted up. He's magnified. I thank you, Father. They see Jesus. Behold your God, city of Tulsa. I thank you, Father. I praise you. I thank you for your grace and peace for every person whose heart is united with the prayer center and all that you're doing here, Father. I thank you for the mighty men of valor that you're raising up, and the women too, Father, that warriors for you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, go in peace and bring them back at the appointed time, Father, full of joy and hunger for the Word of God, and that they may grow in this place that you've planted them. Amen.